And I can't think of a better song to segue into the UU Way topic of our sermon today. And in speaking of that, I'll begin by sharing something that partially inspired that title. It comes from one of my favorite spiritual teachers, mythologist Michael Mead, who describes what he calls the way to the way. And it's important to understand that the first way in the way to the way is in lowercase, while the second way begins with a capital W. The reason will become clear shortly. So Mead points out that everybody starts out their lives, including their spiritual or religious lives, on their local lowercase or little w way. It might be a Hindu way, a Jewish way, an Islamic way, a pagan way, a native way, a Christian way, a Buddhist way, etc. Or for more and more folks, a strictly secular or decidedly non-spiritual rational way. As I mentioned in the personal introduction I shared in UUCPA's online weekly update a week ago, for me growing up in Minnesota's Twin Cities, it was a liberal Lutheran way. Michael Mead's little W way was going to his local Catholic school, which was attached to the Church of Saint Sebastian, who was martyred by being strung up and shot full of arrows. School began with morning mass. So Mead describes how every day he and his friends would stroll to the church and walk in under the statue of Saint Sebastian with the arrows sticking out of him. And he recalls as a little kid looking up and thinking, you know, this isn't very promising. And he says it was really hard for him to understand what happened to this guy. The nuns told him he's a saint because he was killed because he wouldn't recant his belief in the Catholic Church. And again, young Michael is gazing up at those arrows and reports thinking, wow, this is really not the best plan I've seen so far. Maybe this modest trauma was the start of his widening spiritual search, which eventually led him to realize that the whole point of taking a little W way is to get to the big W way, where, he says, it's way cool, and you're way hooked in to both the primordial cycling magic of this earth and the unifying, animating force behind it. An animating force, I'll add, that all the little W ways point to, but none exclusively possess, no matter how much they claim to. And Mead remarks on this, saying, there's only one small problem. A lot of people who start out on their little W way never get to the big W way. They stop along the way. And some folks build churches, or I'll add temples, mosques, synagogues, right there. And not only do they build them, they then charge you to visit what is not really the place you were trying to get to. He goes on. Anyway, after a while, some folks become so deeply convinced that their little W way is the only true way that they want to get rid of all the other ways. But they're not really very far along the way, because the farther you get along your way, the more open you become to other ways, because the more you understand that all little W ways ultimately meet at the big W way. The 19th century Hindu Indian mystic and teacher Ramakrishna expressed a similar idea this way. People partition off their lands by means of boundaries, but no one can partition off the all-embracing sky. The indivisible sky surrounds and includes all. So it is in ignorance that people say, my religion is the only one. My religion is the best. Now, not every little W way traveler does this, but can we remember for a moment how many people are sitting in religious communities right now being told in no uncertain terms that their little W way is the only way, that they alone possess the capital T truth? That's it. Done. Don't subtract, don't add, don't color outside the lines, don't think outside the box. In fact, don't think at all, especially for yourself. In stark contrast, a UU congregation will never ask you to, as it's been described, check your brain at the door. We prize critical thinking and honor science, and also make ample room for the universal life force that transcends the rational. A line from our chalice word sums up this mutual compatibility. This is a house of truth seeking, where scientists can encourage devotion to their quest, where mystics can abide in a community of searchers. The eminent scholar of mythology, Joseph Campbell, notes another problem when people stop along their little W way, mistakenly thinking they've reached the big W way. He states, "Every religion is true one way or another. It is true when understood metaphorically. But when it gets stuck in its own metaphors, interpreting them as facts, then you are in trouble." Again, how many people across this country are being taught that ancient symbolic and metaphorical stories of supernatural phenomena are literal truth? And that if you can't quite wrap your head around and reconcile the mental incongruities this creates, that either your faith isn't strong enough, or Satan intentionally planted this doubt in order to break your belief and steal your soul. Often the false choice between spirit or reason comes from assertions that there is only one true, literal, inerrant, sacred text, the so-called Word of God. And if science and reason conflicts with it, well, there goes science and reason. In part, it's this detrimental divide that Campbell says has, quote, rendered the ancient formulae ineffective, misleading, and even pernicious. And indeed, one glance at our culture reveals the trouble Campbell says all this creates, a topic I'll say much more about starting in 2 weeks. But you use reject the notion of the literal or historic inerrancy of any text, which brings me to another vital distinction of our faith tradition. If you're relatively new here, or maybe just never noticed, the title of our hardback hymnal is Singing the Living Tradition. So what does it mean to say that UUism is a living tradition? Well, to start, living in this context means ever evolving. Thus, in contrast to most religious traditions, we hold that no single sacred text or religious figure contains or embodies the eternal, unchanging, unquestionable truth, again with a capital T. Instead, we hold that the revelation of truth is ongoing, and that it emerges from dynamic inquiry, discourse, and direct experience rather than static creeds and doctrines. Thus, UUism draws from multiple texts, including secular poetry and literature, and also finds insight and inspiration in many other sources, like the oral wisdom traditions of indigenous peoples, the revelations of science, in nature, and in direct transcendent experiences of what I'll call the sacred mystery, by whatever name or no name. Some of you are too young to know this reference, but I heard one UU congregant say they knew they were in the right place when one Sunday the minister spoke on some ideas they'd found in the satirical Mad magazine. According to most traditional religious views, this eclecticism makes UUs heretics, which I, for one, am delighted to be. The root word in Greek, heresis, means choice. So a religious heretic is a person who chooses one's beliefs rather than simply accepting the claims of so-called authorities. This further makes UUism a living, ever-evolving tradition, because as liberal religious educator Angus MacLean put it, it means we aren't merely, quote, the bellhops of history, passing the baggage of one generation onto another. UUs don't blindly accept the religious luggage of our local little W way upbringings. We open it up, decide what to keep and what to toss, add other things we've encountered, repack it, and bring it all with us. Then we don't lock it for all time. UUs know that spirituality and life is too rich and too varied to be stuffed into a single sealed container. So at any moment, we might reopen our pack and, as heretics do, happily choose to adjust its contents. God is an old man in the sky just waiting for me to trip up. Out you go. If I don't follow this particular little W way, I'm damned and will suffer forever. Out. This old book says that to be holy, I should pour scorn and hatred on this person or group out, once and for all, out. Hence, Unitarian Universalism is a free-thinking, spiritual base camp and outfitter, one that's here to help anyone traverse the terrain of spiritual growth without alleging there's just one path to authentic spiritual and ethical awakening, only one way to ascend and expand our personal and communal vistas. As such, the Unitarian Universalism living tradition is actually a way to the big W way for our new millennium. The big W way that fully embraces the rational aspects of life and explores what may lie beyond. The big W way of radically inclusive community. The big W way of sustainable care for all Earth's creatures and the natural systems on which all life depends. The big W way that says together we can fashion a more life-affirming worldview than the little W one that's on its way out, kicking and screaming, lying and scheming. The big W way that doesn't shy away from the present world's hardships and injustices, yet chooses to bless the world by envisioning a truly just and compassionate society and embracing inventive initiatives toward that end. And I agree with Michael Mead that to realize these big W way ends, spiritual growth is not a luxury, but essential. For as Plato saw, quote, states are as the people are. They grow out of human characters. And the more we awaken to the transcendent heart of our own being, the more our hearts spontaneously empathize with others, human and non, and want to see them flourish in every way. And as Mead says, in aggregate, this is culturally transformative. In his words, despite the growing confusions and distractions of the modern world, we are the current inheritors of the deep human longings for truth and beauty and the life-sustaining capacity to transform. Transformation at the level of the individual soul generates the imagination and collective energy needed to change the conditions of the world. What we need is not a minor repair, but a major transformation that can only start from the inside. Again, I'll share more about this link between soul and society, consciousness and culture in coming months. But today I'll close by emphasizing that perhaps like some of you, as a soul who could find no tranquility or inspiration in the far-fetched pseudo-certainties and exclusivist dogmas of any little W way, for many years I had no spiritual home. So when Unitarian Universalism did flow into my life, it was a river of grace. And a major reason is found in the closing line of our earlier reading, one that implicitly refutes any little W way claim to unique truth or authority, and simply yet powerfully affirms the UU way as a way to the inclusive big W way that's so needed right now. For an eternal verity abides beneath diversities. We are children of one great love, united in our one eternal family. Namaste and blessed be.